back. We have apologies from Honourable Christians and from Honourable Diana. Honourable Thibodeau is running slightly late, but will be joining us any minute. thanks as well to the parliamentary staff assisting us this morning. The purpose of the meeting today is to interview and shortlist candidates for the governing board of the Western Cape Liquor Authority for a new term which begins in March of 2018. At our last meeting last week, we resolved that each member would prepare some questions in advance, which we will then discuss at the start of this meeting, and we'll deliberate on those questions and decide on four. Those four questions will then be posed to all the candidates during their individual interviews. we also then decided that during this initial part of the meeting, although the Hansard is running, that we're not going to broadcast our deliberations on which questions to ask in the interest of fairness, so that if there's any candidate sitting outside watching the TV screen, that they don't have any unfair advantage over other applicants. however, the Hansard will continue to run, so the proceedings themselves will be publicly available. So we're satisfied then, according to Standing Rule 70, that we have followed due process in having justifiable reasons for not having the feed on. We also then requested that Advocate Marstorp and the Department submit a legal opinion on the term or the period that a board member may serve. That was circulated to members via email, and as you know, both Advocate Marstorp from the Provincial Parliament as well as the Department of Community Safety's legal team advised that a member may only serve two periods, and each period may not exceed 4 years. So if a particular member has served two periods on the board, good morning, Honourable Thibodeau. We got your message. Thank you very much. We're happy to see you here.
Thank you, sir.
Please feel welcome. And so therefore, if they served two periods, they were then no longer eligible to serve on the board for a third period, which then disqualified one applicant. The applicant was sent an email to inform her thereof. Then, I think before we then proceed with the deliberations, can we just adopt the minutes from last week? They are in your pack. it's this at the back of the grid. The very last document at the back of the grid. Any edits or amendments to page one? Page two? Page 3. Can we adopt, members? Thank you very much, Honourable Lecker and Mitchell. Okay. Right. Then now we need to deliberate on questions. I have a few that I have prepared. I don't know, members, should I start or would you like to start? Honourable Thibodeau? Or should I? Okay. So the first question that I think might be important to ask the applicants is, what, according to the Liquor Act, are the responsibilities of the Liquor Board? To understand whether they understand exactly what they're applying for. Any objections to that? Can we put that in the pool? Okay. Any other questions, members? Should I carry on? Okay. Then perhaps what skills and knowledge will you bring to the board if appointed? That would then give the applicant an opportunity to talk about their experience and, you know, what they would bring if they were successful. I don't know if we want to amend that, change it, put it in the pool? Can we put it in the pool? Okay. All right.
It's more critical experience and value that they add.
Yes, exactly. What would be their value add, basically?
Value add.
Okay.
The latter sentence from Kibito, we can just add it as
well. Okay, so what skills or knowledge would you bring to the board if appointed? What would your value add be? Yeah. Any other questions, members?
I haven't phrased it, but it concerns the incumbency. Should it, the person be elected to serve on the board, given all their other obligations, because most of them serve on boards and directors of this and that and the other, doing research or lecturing, how would they still be able to fit that into their... It's about time management. And I would love them to give a clear indication as to how they are going to manage their time in order to apply their minds to their function as well.
Honourable Lacker, and then Honourable Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps this question is good because it is also linked to one of the concerns that some of the board members were not attending meetings due to their commitments elsewhere. So maybe perhaps this should be, we can make it the very last question in the questions that we're going to ask the interviewees.
Good.
Mitchell?
Excuse me, Chair. Chair, I agree with what Honourable Kibito is trying to achieve with time management. I just think that we need to phrase it in such a way that we do not create the impression that if somebody serves on 10 boards that it would negatively affect that person. Because once somebody applies they have obviously gone through their own time management, so we can't assume that person would not have the time. So I agree with time management, but we just need to
rephrase it. Yeah.
I note some of the applicants are retired, so we'll need to balance the question out. So any suggestions?
I think if we phrase like something to the effect that because of the importance of this board, and it's our duty to ensure that the board is whoever is appointed on the board, as the time, not the time, we must not use the word time, but as the, has got the, is able to fulfill the functions and duties.
As the
necessary, capacity again is also very broad,
also
so
broad.
We need to,
commitment.
Or can you explain why? I don't know how to phrase it, but in order to ensure that we do not create the impression that because you can serve on 20 boards if you work 24 hours a day, then that's your personal. I just need to be careful.
I've got a suggestion then. Because of the responsibilities of the board and the important work it does, would you be able to commit to all the meetings and work of the board?
Yeah.
Does that work? I think I've captured everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what I would like to suggest, members, is remember that we are appointing seven members to the board, of which one is the person that will be responsible for alcohol harms reduction. So I think we should ask each candidate the question whether they have any experience or knowledge of reducing harms associated with alcohol. Then we can gauge which of the applicants might be a suitable candidate for that particular role, and there might be more than one, in which case we, you know, they might serve as one of the sixth or the seventh member with that role, if you agree.
I just wanted to question also in terms of striking.
Use your mic.
Balance.
In terms of balancing their function, in terms of the more legislative function in the board, and one person is going to be appointed as a sort of therapist or whatever the case may be, how are they going to strike that balance in terms of the commercial and the business side and the pathological or the pathologies and social ills that go with it?
Perfect. So that question then would encompass that.
Yes.
So those would then be the four questions. Let me repeat. What, according to the Liquor Act, are the responsibilities of the Liquor Board? Two, what skills and knowledge would you bring to the board if appointed? What would your value add be? Three, because of the responsibilities of the board and the important work it does, would you be able to commit to all the meetings and work of the board? And four, do you have any experience or knowledge of reducing harms associated with alcohol? Those are the four then questions will be posed to all candidates. Do we agree?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
yeah.
agrees.
Yes.
Then I think as a fifth question, because there are some questions that we need to pose to individual applicants based on the CV, then I'll allow each member to ask one question of clarity based on the CV to the applicant if there is such a question. Would that be fair? Everyone agrees? Okay, so then you can ask your specific question on those things that we need clarity if it does arise. Okay, are we happy with that then, members? So what we'll do then is we'll print the questions, and then what we'll do is we'll rotate asking the questions so that we can each have an opportunity to pose. So I'll ask the questions. I've got them written down here. So I'll ask the first set of questions, and then once we have it printed off, we'll then give it to the members here, and then we'll take turns to ask questions to the applicants directly. Right? Then, in your pack, the first document is the time schedule, so we need to get on with it, with the applicant's names and the time slot. And then the next is your scoring sheet. And so it's got the names of the applicants in order that they will be appearing before the committee. No, this is not. Yes,
the scoring is out of 10.
The incorrect, this is the final scoring sheet once we tally up all the scores. So we've just got to get you the correct scoring sheet. So just give us a moment. While that's arriving, so the scoring sheet will have the applicant's name, and then it will say question 1, 2, 3, 4, and then comments. So you'll be able to score each applicant on each question. At the end of it, what we'll do is we'll get the scores from each member and add it to this table, which will then create a tally, which will then give us a ranking overall for each of the applicants to assist us in determining the shortlist, as we did last time. Can we... the scoring sheet for each member. You'll get it shortly. So can we proceed on the same principle as we did last time?
Yeah.
Thank you. Then the next question is the scoring, the actual scoring. I was going to suggest 1 to 5, but that there's another proposal of 1 to 10.
Chair, if I may, can we do it out of 5? Because it just makes it... Yeah, can I say that?
Okay, it's all right. So then our scoring matrix, if everyone agrees, the proposal is scoring out of from 1 to 5, 1 being poor and 5 being excellent. Can we adopt that proposal?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. So the scoring will then be 1 to 5, 1 being poor, 5 being excellent.
In terms of the scoring, it seems that it's a small gap, 1 to 5.
Good morning, Dr. Plasky. Very warm welcome to the Standing Committee on Community Safety. Thank you for participating in the interviews for the Western Cape Liquor Authority. My name is Mireille Wenger, and I'm the chair of the committee. I'm going to ask the members to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Dr. Plasky. Dalen Mitchell.
Good morning. My name is Pat Lecker.
Good morning, Dr. Plasky. I'm Basil Trevido.
Would you like some water? Dr. Plasky, without further ado, we're going to just jump straight in. We have 4 general questions that will be posed this morning. So I'm going to kick off. The first question then is, what according to the Liquor Act are the responsibilities of the Liquor Board?
Good morning, and thank you very much for the invitation to be interviewed. I appreciate that. The Liquor Board, excuse me, And the DICA board is responsible for oversight of the DICA authority to ensure that the work is done according to the Act and that there is due good governance, and clearly that would be an oversight on financial, human resources and the tasks laid out in the Act.
Thank you. Then the next question is, what skills and knowledge would you bring to the board if you were appointed? So basically, what would your contribution to the board be?
Well, my experience in the liquor industry is extremely limited, the liquor industry itself, but for the last 4 years I've been working on the alcohol harms reduction campaign in the provincial government. And that began because we were very concerned about the underlying issues of poverty, of violence, particularly violence against people within each gender-based violence, murder, rape, these sorts of things, and the enormous links between violence and crime. And for as long as I can remember, this has been a very contested area in the Western Cape government, but I guess in the country as a whole. So the angle that I have come at it from is from alcohol harms reduction and seeing the impact, the underlying impact that this could have on improving the lives and well-being of people in the Western Cape. So there's a long history to alcohol and alcohol abuse, but to be frank, the legislation in our part of the world hasn't really helped over the last few years. It has opened up more access to cheaper alcohol more regularly, and we have seen a clear correlation over the years between increased problems and injuries in particular, and this is not just on the roads, be it drivers driving drunk or pedestrians and so on, but also people who move from generally unlicensed outlets into the community, into their homes and so on. So that's what I've observed over the years, and it's been very much a transversal issue. So it's not just the problem of the health department, or in those days it was economic development and tourism. It's been very much integrated into the poverty underlying our desperate situation in some communities. And so in my role in the Department of the Premier, where I was responsible for transversal issues like across the provincial strategic goals, I could see that this was a very fundamental thing. So I personally gave a lot of attention to it, and I led the research, the writing of the green paper, the writing of the white paper, and the subsequent adoption of the white paper. And then just before I retired at the end of November, the writing of the new legislation around alcohol. So that has been my main role. Maybe I could add that I have experience in chairing and being members of committees and boards and so on.
Thank you very much. The third question is, because of the responsibilities of the board and the important work it does, would you be able to commit to all the meetings and the work of the board?
So this was a question that I did have, and I'm told that previous boards met rather regularly, or there was work for members of the board, not necessarily in the board meetings, but they had other meetings. I would be able to commit. I am currently co-convener of a master's program at UCT, but that takes up about 3 months over the whole year. I don't think I would want to commit the rest of the 9 months only to this, but I certainly would be able to be available. I'm concerned that meetings not be held for the sake of meetings. Besides being an expense to the state, I think they are a waste of time. But I see, if I may just say at this point, maybe it's not the appropriate moment to say it, but the next 3 years is a very important transitional period for the board. If the legislation that is being drafted comes before this committee and before the House, then the board would actually become redundant. So I am very clear about the fact that this is not a position to be held for the sake of holding a position, but that it is a contribution to the transition. And my view is that the work should go back into the department and should be under the department's guidance and leadership, so that the life of the board, you know, perhaps this is the last board. So I would put a lot of effort into that, but in terms of the content rather than meetings for the sake of meetings.
And then the final question, which you've I think already answered, is, you know, do you have any experience or knowledge of reducing harms associated with alcohol? So I don't know if you'd like to maybe expand a little bit more, or if you'd like to add on to the skills and knowledge that you bring to the board in that final question.
Maybe just a couple of points. I think more than symbolically, it has been very important to move the responsibility for the liquor authority to the Department of Community Safety. I think this was a very important moment, both for many members of the community. You know, we received over 200 comments on the green paper. Some of them were institutional comments, some of them were individuals, but the vast majority were very, you know, people were very worried about the role of alcohol in the current setup in our communities. And many of them had said, well, it's about time government did something. And I think, you know, over the years, as I was saying, I've observed this for many years, is that there's been a fiddling with, if I can put it that way, with the legislation to make it easier for liquor license to be obtained, which is not a bad thing in itself, but easier in what context and easier for whom? And how does that involve community participation? And it's been, in my view, my observation, has been a very peripheral thing. And I think that one of the most important elements of work that this government is responsible for is to get real public participation and really meaningful reflection of the views out there in our legislation in a way that does what it needs to for the community to, you know, to thrive and prosper. So I think that we have been a bit lopsided, and my view is that there's indisputable evidence, and it's all laid out in the white paper, so I'm not going to give facts and figures. The main thing is currently that the state is subsidizing the liquor industry, and we are budgeting more for this board than we are, you know, getting back from the licensing fees, even the fines that are dished out. So I think that the role of this authority, even in an interim period, is extremely could be extremely powerful, and it does need good leadership, and I think that I can offer experience and leadership in this particular field without being compromising on processes and letting the liquor tribunal, of course, do its own independent work. I do believe very much in the independence of that. So I don't think this is about trying to stop alcohol being consumed in the Western Cape or anything like that. It's a very important part of our industry. It's a very important part of our tourism. I myself enjoy a couple of glasses of wine now and then, and I think it can become a much better regulated industry to reflect our very unfortunate history. Going into the future, we can do a lot better. So I feel I can bring that. The evidence is probably the white paper.
Thank you, Dr. Platsky. Members, are there any questions of clarity on Dr. Platsky's CV that you would like to pose at this stage? Honourable Kivido.
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Platsky, I've scanned through your impressive CV, very impressive CV. Looking at the systems and processes of the board itself in terms of working towards property, openness and accountability in all these issues. I see you have a very strong strong ties with, in terms of your academic acumen and expertise, with trade and industry as well as tourism. You've been invited to many symposia and conferences and in terms of your own research as well. We know that South Africa has been high up in terms of export, our wine export and our wine industry. It took a dip in the 80s and 90s. In which way would you say that's also part of value added, with your knowledge concerning trade, industry and tourism, would be able to add in terms of regaining our momentum again for our wines to become a profitable and an attractive commodity to be exported again?
Thank you, Mr. Cupido, for that question. I would say that Project Lisa, which is currently underway, which has targeted particular markets. So, you know, we have quite a large historic market in the UK, in the Netherlands, and so on, and that grows steadily. But it's about new markets, and so I have travelled quite widely with the Premier on promoting our products, and wine being one of the most, you know, our wines are actually, the export wines are really exclusive wines. They're not the run of the mill. We, you know, the run of the mill is sometimes left at home. I would like us to be adding value to those wines, to be producing a lot less of the run-of-the-mill and a lot more of the high-end, which earns us more and adds value and creates jobs and so on, and added skills. So we focused on markets like China and Angola. Angola is a bit difficult at the moment with the, you know, their oil revenues are down. But in the rest of Africa, there is an appreciation for South African wines. So I think that's really where you go. But then in our own situation, you know, we have in the wine lands, even tourists coming here who experience wine tasting, they buy it and they take it home and then they maybe import it and then they maybe buy a wine farm and then they create more jobs, etc. So there's a value chain in that sense as well, which I think is, you know, we are working on that, and certainly that can be increased.
Thank you. Honourable Lekker? You covered. Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Tetsky.
Thank you very much. Thank you once again for the opportunity.
I'm just going to call the next participant in. And just a reminder that the final question of clarity is based on the CV, and if there's a not a general question, because we've already decided what they are, but it's specific if there's something in the CV that that needs clarity.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to the Standing Committee on Community Safety.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in the interview process for the Western Cape Liquor Authority. My name is Mireille Wenger. I'm the chair of this committee. I'm going to ask members to introduce themselves.
Goeiemôre, Dylan Mitchell.
Good morning, Pat Flicker.
Good morning, Mr. Kingwell. I'm Basil Cavido.
Mr. Kingwell, we have four general questions to pose to you this morning, and then there might be some questions of clarity thereafter from the members. I'm going to ask Honourable Mitchell to proceed with the questions to you this morning.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning again, Mr. Kingwell. I'm going to go straight into the questions. And what, according to the Liquor Act, are the responsibility of for the Liquor Authority or the board?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for the opportunity to present myself today. I can say that being part of the Western Cape government structures for the last 10 years has been a privilege from my side, and I hope I've met most of you, or certainly some of you over the years at various presentations, and certainly I hope I can present myself in an adequate way today. In answer to that specific question, I think that the Liquor Act itself, it's a long document, and as you all know, it's under continuous change, so I'm not going to even pretend that I know the detail of the Act, but what I have been able to grasp is that the essence of the Act is legislation and regulation